The gesture is communication of communicability. It has precisely nothing to say because what it shows is the being and language of human beings as pure mediality. However, because being and language is not something that could be said in sentences, the gesture is essentially always a gesture of not being able to figure something out in language. It is always a gag, in the proper meaning of the term, indicating first of all something that could be put in your mouth to hinder speech, as well as in the sense of an actor's improvisation, meant to compensate a loss of memory or an inability to speak. That's from Agamben's Notes on Gesture. from the book Means Without Ends, Notes on Politics from 2000. I don't think it's really, or the larger argument, I don't think is pertinent, but I keep having this image in my head of this, of a way of defining language as a gagged mouth, and the violence of describing language in that way. This is Tongue in Cheek. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra. So yesterday we were walking down around Soho in the morning, and there were these the posters up from JR that were posted on all of the sort of boarded up windows around different shops. And on one of them it said, or somebody had written on it, "Social distancing is social distortion." And I guess, but I mean, maybe I'm reading it in the wrong way, but what came to mind to me is something that I think a lot of people have been thinking about, which is how different something that seems so absolute, right? Something like a set of feet, as in 6 feet, or any kind of measurement, means something different from one person to the next. And it also made me think about something else that we consider, I think, or is misconstrued in some ways, or we might ask, is it misconstrued as an absolute, which is air, or breath, or the ability to breathe. And I think especially since the past couple of months, we've had, you know, a lot of us have been wearing masks as we walk around outside or in any sort of public setting. And air has been sort of in the way that air moves around, and that we can't control it. It seems to be almost like this object of our fear, its ever presence, becomes this sort of thing that we can't avoid. It seems like a common medium, something we breathe in and out freely without premeditating it, asking our body to accept it, or asking someone else if we can have some of it. But maybe just like measures of distance in inches and feet, there's a problem in misconstruing breath as something absolute. If you imagine air as a liquid, maybe it becomes easier to see this in another way. To see that when one person inhales, they are holding on to something. And if that inhale is in one great gulp, holding to whatever discomfort and not releasing, not exhaling, in other words, not speaking, because air in their mind, air is something endless and free for all. Others will drown in their silence the vacuity of this imagined absolute. There are forms of silence, like kneeling on one knee together, a whole highway stopping for 1 minute, reflecting, meditating, or mourning together. These are meetings. In this idea of liquid, they are a sharing and passing this liquid together. And there are forms of silence that withhold air, withholding it from others, not speaking on the behalf of the breath of others. So, went through a few of our past episodes that we've played on, or that we had originally broadcast on Montez Press Radio over the past few years, and just picked some examples of exercises that are particular to breathing, and in particular breath as something that is interdependent.
So nice.
Welcome to Tongue in Cheek.
It's no coincidence that aspiration means both hope and the act of breathing.
So what we're going to start with today is a breathing exercise that's focusing on how breathing moves the body. Literally, how the movement of the body and one's breath become synonymous in an action outside of one's body. So what we want to start with doing is positioning ourselves. Maybe Aaron, you can help us with this.
Yeah, so begin with yourself sitting upright, not leaning back. And we're going to direct you through some breathing. And the idea is to do it as slowly as possible, ideally through your nostrils, so that you can, you know, have these long breaths in and out and really dwell on the movements as we guide you.
Great.
So, we're going to be breathing in and out of our nostrils to pace our breath. Emma's on with us on Skype, so that's why we have this nice kind of crackly other distant voice tuning in with us. So we're going to be focusing just our breath through our nostrils. And when we're sitting upright, the first thing I want us to do is essentially to hug yourself. So wrap your palms around the sides of your chest and pull your elbows in. So they're sort of pushing in on your hands. Really try to get a full grip as much on your lower abdomen. And in that position, take one breath out as if pushing on the sides of your chest to vacate the inside of your rib cage. Again. Really use the hugging, compressing your torso to feel that emptying. And now on the breath in, focusing on the breath in, you can keep going while I'm describing this, but as you breathe in that hugging position, I want you to start to feel where in your chest cavity that air is coming into. So take one deep breath in with a tight hug.
And really breathe in until you absolutely can't take any more air into your chest.
And on the breathe out, keep that hug, pushing it out. And then on the breath in again, start to feel where is it even, where is the air even filling a larger cavity, and where is it starting to pop out. Again on that breath in, where is the air pressing on the outer extremity of your body? Is it pushing on one part of your spinal column? Is it pushing on one rib? How is it affecting your posture?
So, at the top of your breath, after you've taken a lot of air in, keep hugging yourself and begin to breathe out. At this point, notice the looseness and forward curvature of the back as you exhale, how your back relaxes. Think about what it would feel like to pick something up with your back this way. Take another breath. Exhale. And feel your back relax and curve forward.
Thank you.
Notice how loose the muscles in your lower back are once you're fully exhaled. So as you breathe in again, feel how the curvature straightens and the back straightens up. Breathe in and feel how the chest and stomach balloon and expand. With another breath in, notice how the back becomes upright and more rigid. Again, breathe in and allow your upper body to become upright as you keep breathing in until you absolutely can't breathe in any further. Try this again. Breathe in fully. Feel the pressure inside yourself. Fill your stomach and chest once again until you absolutely can't put any more air in. And imagine picking something up from the floor while in this position and how sturdy the back has become.
One begins to sense the interior space of the chest as a kind of chamber.
So this is the Armenian duduk instrument, which is an instrument there. It's a woodwind, a double-reeded instrument, and it requires tremendous breath to play such a soothing and relaxing sound. So for this coming exercise, it will be a bit of a continuation of what we were just doing. You will continue to stay seated upright and to breathe in and out through your nostrils as slowly as possible so that you can really dwell on the how we guide your motions. So you're going to focus on breathing out and in as slowly as possible. So as you continue breathing...
This is through the nostrils again?
Through the nostrils. As you continue breathing, turn your attention to your shoulders and your shoulder blades. Breathe in and feel your chest expand and your shoulder blades pull closer to each other. Exhale and repeat this. Take a breath in and pull your shoulder blades closer together. Breathe in again. Notice how your chest expands. Take a few breaths to think about how your shoulders move forward and backward with each breath. So, exhale slowly when you have a chance. and notice how the chest contracts. As you exhale, notice how the shoulder blades begin to spread apart. On an exhale, as you reach the bottom of your breath, notice how the shoulders and arms roll forward. As you prepare to take a long inhale, raise your arms in front of you parallel to the ground.
Like a zombie?
Like a zombie. As you slowly take in air, pull your elbows backward in a rowing motion. As you exhale, let your arms travel forward as your chest deflates. Repeat this a few times, moving your arms forward and backward with your breaths.
It's like miming push-ups.
As you breathe out, press forward. As you breathe in, pull your elbows back. Do this a few times, focusing on how the breath moves your shoulders backward and forward. At the top of your breath, on an inhale, imagine you're about to slowly push something away from you. As you exhale, relax the tension in your shoulder blades to push. Do this a few times. As you're about to exhale, relax your shoulder blades and let them travel apart. Focus on them and do this a couple times. As you exhale, your chest and rib cage contract, pushing your arms forward. On these exhalations, notice how your shoulders also travel forward and inward. Breathe out. Feel how your shoulders roll inward. Let the rowing and the pushing of the arms become the same as the effort to breathe in and out. Let the physical motion of your arms become your breathing. And now, on one last slow breath in, keep your chest contracted and your arms forward. Focus on this. Keep your arms stretching forward and your chest tightened. Try and fill your lungs with air. How far can you inhale before the extension of your arms overwhelms your breath in?
The classic position of the hands is that they are clenched. The clench was due to the fact that a nail went through it. The cause of death in a crucifixion is not from a loss of blood, but asphyxiation. The body is forced into a position of one long inhale. With the arms extended, the chest is pulled open, unable to vacate. In pain, pull up one's frame by one's nailed hands or support the body's weight on one's nailed feet. One simply stopped being able to release a breath, inhaling into death.
What you're about to hear is mochitsuki, the sound of two men making mochi, synchronizing their hammer strikes with a ritualistic chant.
Hey!
acquaintance uses breathing exercises in her acting and physical theater practice. She is pregnant with her first child. When she's preparing to go into labor, she is advised by a nurse to rehearse her breathing. She asks if the breathing exercises she uses for acting would work. On hearing them, the nurse says, "Yeah, what more could one do?" Two forms of becoming. Becoming one character and a body giving presence to another body.
In rural Germany, a deaf and blind boy of around 13 who hasn't had access or exposure to verbal language or techniques of tactile signing is given a radio, playing, by an older lady active in the deaf-blind community. He draws it to his chest, hugging it tightly, hearing it, its substratum, with visible delight. He likes it. He feels something living.
In what follows, we seek to tune our bodies in the same spirit, to lessen the distance between our bodies.
Pa, 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 de, 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 fe, 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 me, 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 me.
So, what you just heard are two bilabial sounds, the pa and the me, with a labiodental, which I believe is the fe,
fe, fe.
And alveolar sound, which is the de. So the pa and the me, the bilabials, are when you press both lips together, which is also how you do in English, peep or b, or a m. Then the de, which is alveolar, is the tongue tip touching the ridge behind the top front teeth. And that's the usual place of articulation for an English t.
De.
Na.
De.
And a labiodental is where the top teeth meet the bottom lip, like in English F or a V.
Ha. Ba.
V.
Ma.
V. F. V. So let's do these again all together, four times each. We're doing pa, de, fe, me. Try to keep your... actually, Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about like vocalization? What we want to do is like actually keep the vocalization of these sounds down and actually more focus on the direction of air and the direction and the shape of one's mouth.
So vocalization is where you're actually vibrating your vocal cords to create a sound, as opposed to breathing or whispering a sound. This is a vocalized way of speaking. And if you don't vocalize, it becomes about direction of breath, and it becomes a whisper.
So let's, thinking about that, let's do these together. So four times pa, four times de, four times fe, four times me.
And think of it as vocal tennis.
Pa,
pa, pa,
pa,
pa, de, 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 fe, 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 fe. Meh, 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 meh.
Okay, again, let's do it again. Really trying to dumb down the vocalization.
Yeah, I didn't
know that. So not only are you thinking about the movement within your mouth, like the movement of your tongue, the placement of your tongue on de, or the placement of your tongue on fe, or your lips and your teeth on fe, actually, but also the direction of breath.
Yeah, it's more like you're blowing air.
Yeah. So let's try again. You know, let's do 10 times each just so that you you have a bit of an arc. So you might have to count that.
Pa, 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 de, 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 fe, 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 me, 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 me.
So
not only were you thinking about the movement of the mouth and the direction of breath, but also the effect of that breath and its direction and its articulation of breath coming out and touching another, someone in front of you or the microphone in front of me. A part of your breath and speaking comes out and touches another.
And now we want you to make contact with your listening device. So if you're listening via speakers, rest your hand on the cone or speaker device, keeping your head as far out of the direction of the speaker as you can. You want to be able to listen with your hand, not your ears. Although the ears have no lids. Keep the speakers at a comfortable to low volume, but turn them up if you can't feel. And if you're listening through headphones, you will clutch or grasp your earbuds and phones.
So essentially,
the volume should go up.
Yes, the volume on the headphones should go up, and the volume on the speaker should probably be at a medium to comfortable volume. And we're going to go back through these. What are they again, Aaron? There's two bilabials.
An alveolar. And a labiodental.
We're going to go back through this sequence, but we're going to lose, especially those of you that are listening on headphones, that are going to be clenching them in your hands, hopefully. We're going to lose you for 30 seconds. It's about take about 30 seconds.
Yeah, and if you stop here, if you stop feeling anything in your hands, it's over.
So again, to repeat just what Emma said from afar through Skype, that we are refocusing our way of listening as a tactile one, right? So we're actually placing our hands on the listening devices. So in a second, if everybody's in the right position, hopefully you're ready to put the headphones in your fists or the speaker to start to touch the speaker. In 10 seconds, we're gonna start. This gives you some time. 10, 9, 7. Pa, 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 de, 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 fe, 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 me, 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 me,
me.
So we'll give it a second for everybody to come back.
I felt that through the speaker of my laptop.
Now we're going to do it again with a much more sensitive part as a way of feeling. I mean, really what we want to focus on, although I think that might have been, since I voiced them so much, that might have been a little bit consistent in the feeling, but is starting to feel the difference between these different mouth shapes and actually the sensation that you're getting on the other side. So instead of using your hands this time, if you are listening on speakers, turn your volume down and find a place somewhere on your speakers. If you would do this, this would be great, to gently rest your lips on the speaker. It's not a kiss, it's almost just almost like a pre-drool.
A touch.
And if you have headphones, this is maybe a little less grotesque, although you probably have a lot of your earwax, so it might be to you. If you have headphones, you just want to slightly touch them to your lips. If you have one of those squishy headphones like we probably have on, then just rest it on your lower lip or press it a little bit harder. If you have something like more plasticky, like a Apple earbud or Bose or whatever, or those jogging ones, you can just gently rest it on your lower lip, or even better, like between the two. So again, we're going to do 30 seconds. I'm going to do 10 of each. Again, that's a bilabial, an alveolar, a labiodental, and then another bilabial. So let's count down to 10, and we'll start, because we're going to lose those with headphones again. 10. 9, 8. pa, 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 de, 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 fe, 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 me, 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 me. So let's let everybody come back to us.
There are people walking past the RFV wondering what the hell we're doing.
All right, now let's, we're going to...
Creating acoustic enclosures.
Yes. We're going to slide into the next, and our closing exercise, actually, that we're going to take some time with. And that's going to be led by Aaron.
Okay.
Again.
So, this is going to be a continuation of what we were doing earlier in the episode. With the rowing motion of the arms, the rolling them forward as you breathe out, and pulling the elbows back, your shoulder blades together as you breathe in. So, if you have a friend or companion with you, you will need them. That's the essence of this exercise. You're gonna face them in an upright, seated position, a few feet apart. And if you don't have anyone like that, just you can listen to us do it. So find that person, and I'll give you a minute to make sure you found someone. And once you have, both of you will raise your arms towards one another and grasp each other's hands, palm to palm.
Once you've found somebody, you really want to be sitting across from them,
yeah,
right?
Facing them.
And nothing in between you.
Yeah, with enough room to move. And yeah, so grab their hands, palm to palm.
Take my hand here.
Okay. As before, you're gonna move your breath. You're gonna let your breath in, open your chest, and you pull your arms back. And when breathing out, contract your rib cage as your shoulders and arms roll forward. And you may have noticed it's gonna be a little difficult if you're doing this with someone. So, what you're gonna do with them is breathe in. While they breathe out. So you roll your arms forward as they pull theirs back. So breathe out and push your arms forward, and with them, your partner. Try this a few times. You're reciprocating each other's motion. They push forward and you pull back.
So should it be like we're kind of rowing together
now?
Yes,
yeah. It's like you're rowing together. As you push forward, you breathe out. As you pull back, you breathe in. Let your breath in, pull your shoulders back. And let your breath out, press your arms forward. And your partner throws back. Try this a couple times.
Push while they pull. Pull while they push. Breathe in while they breathe out. Breathe out while they breathe in. Inhale while they push. Exhale while they pull.
It takes a bit of coordination, but continue trying to reciprocate your breath in motion with those of your partners. Feel how your partner's body moves in response to your breath, and feel how your partner's breath moves your body. Try to breathe as slowly as possible so that you can focus on these motions.
Legato.
Shopping, house shopping, busy shopping centre, supermarket. Just handed the list with the bag, old black shopping bag, then stand there waiting, any length of time, middle of the throng, motionless, staring into space, mouth half open as usual, till it was back in the hand, the bag back in the hand, then pay and go, not as much as goodbye, how she survived. And now this dream, not catching the half of it, not the quarter, no idea.
The pulsations of the air, once set in motion by the human voice, cease not to exist with the sounds to which they gave rise. But if the air we breathe is the never-failing historian of the sentiments we have uttered, earth, air, and ocean are the eternal witnesses of the acts we have done. The same principle of the equality of action and reaction applies to them. Whatever moment is communicated to any of their particles is transmitted to all around it. The track of every canoe, of every vessel which has yet disturbed the surface of the ocean, whether impelled by manual force or elemental power, remains forever registered in the future movement of all succeeding particles which may occupy its place. The furrow which is left is, indeed, instantly filled up by the closing waters, but they draw after them other and larger portions of the surrounding element, and these again, once moved, communicate motion to others in endless succession. Welcome to Tongue in Cheek.
An aspirated voice is a voiceless sound with a strong puff of air, or an H sound afterwards, as in an English p, k, t, when these sounds occur at the beginning of a word. It is the air we shape with our vocal cords.
We're going to start today with two parts of a three-part exercise that we call furrow. And these three exercises together, what we're going to be focusing on is the extension of breath and the body as it emanates into environments. So the first thing I want us to do is, what you'll need for this, you can be sitting at a desk, you can be sitting on a couch. Ideally, you can keep your torso upright and your diaphragm loose. And I want you to find, I guess before you position yourself, it would be good to find a napkin or some kind of loose piece of paper. If it's an actual leaf of paper, then you want to make sure it's nice and floppy, that you're not creasing it down the middle and making it rigid. And with that piece of paper, just hold it up about 8 inches from your mouth. And this first part, we're gonna be focusing on the power of our breath and the power of our voiceless voice. So just what you're gonna first do is a sound. and elongating that. So it's kind of WH. And leave that paper in front of your face, again, about 8 inches from your face. And make that sound. And watch how the paper or the napkin flutters forward. Now that you have that, start to move your hand with the napkin away from your face, trying to maintain the amount that the piece of paper or the napkin is being deflected. So increasing the power of your breath in the length of your breath as you're bringing it away. See if you can get the full extent of your arm. Without the napkin or the piece of paper falling back down. What's the limit of the distance of that breath, of that voiceless sound? Now take a little break. Bring your napkin back to
standing.
The center. Yeah, standing. 8 inches again from the front of your mouth. And now let's switch to voiced breath. So we're going to repeat the same action, trying to maintain the flutter at various distances. But instead of doing one long, we're going to change it to a k. And that k, you're going to see, you're going to have to repeat over again. So you're going to say k, k, k. So actually the napkin or the piece of paper is going to be fluttering, right? So let's just start at 8 inches. Now move to 12 and try to get that same deflection. Move to 20. Just a slight bend in your arm, in your elbow. What happens to the sound as you try to force more air out? Now bring it back to 8.
Definitely notice how the direction of it, of your breath, is really important in this. Which way you're angling the breath.
Back to 20. You should hear a change from a coo to a kind of cue as you're trying to tighten the passage to maintain the force further away.
It's like a remote drumming.
Okay. And let's try to do that again with pa. So again at 8 inches.
Pa.
Pa. Pa. Pa. Pa. Pa. Pa. And then back to 20. Total reaching of your arm. Back to 8.
So, what you were just listening to is actually a snapping shrimp, or pistol shrimp, and they are using a specialized claw to cavitate water. They move it faster than the speed of sound, and it creates a cavity in the water, and this bubble that rapidly implodes and creates a pop and a snap. And they can use it to communicate with each other, but it's mostly used as a weapon that can stun and kill nearby prey or attackers. But it also makes a very loud noise.
The second part of our exercise today is, instead of focusing on power, we're going to be thinking about the direction of our phonemes. So, thinking about some of the phonemes we went over yesterday, we're going to walk through a couple and try to feel actually what direction of air is coming out of our mouth when we enunciate them. So the first thing we should do is, instead of putting a napkin in front of our mouth, take your hand and place it vertically in line with your face so that the palm of your hand is kind of near cupping, cupping your mouth, and your fingers start just around your nose. And the first sound I want you to make is an F. What is that, Aaron? An F.
That would be labiodental.
Right, labiodental. So you actually feel the your top teeth resting on your bottom lip, right? Maybe you do it a different way. But think about where the air is coming out of your mouth and where it's landing on your hand. What do you feel, Emma?
Well, I feel that I can brush the air.
Yeah.
Towards the top, towards the fingertips, as well as towards the wrist, depending on how the lips are angled.
It's like as the as you shift your teeth relative to your lower lip, it can direct the F, but as your teeth come back, it kind of turns into a V.
Like if I say fantasy, maybe I get fantasy on the bottom part of my palm. But if I say
fruit,
I get a little higher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's like as you try to project your voice to a different part of your hand, it can changes the quality of the F. And you use a different voice to get, to create a different sound to get your voice to a different part of your hand.
It's a funny way of thinking how to speak.
Yeah.
Okay, let's change to ka, 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 ka,
ka,
ka, ka, ka, ka, ka.
Ka.
So that's maybe a little less like a kind of window squeegee up and down your hand. And it's maybe more of a wash down. Ka. Or cha. Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha.
Cha. Cha. Cha.
Cha. Cha.
Ka, cha,
ka, ch, ka, cha.
And now a two, two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two,
two.
So two is a little bit of a rounded sound. You round the front of your mouth to create the two,
two. And that's maybe going to work just where your fingertips start if you have it.
Two.
Your palms still aligned in front of your mouth.
It's very reverberant.
Two.
Yeah.
And E, E, E.
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 What you might see with E is it's almost like you don't get anything on your hand, right?
Yeah.
E. E.
E.
So that's a lateral, is that right?
Yes.
A lateral, like L?
Yes.
E.
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 I can't remember.
No, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm not sure.
M is a lateral, is it not?
Mm-mm.
E.
Is it?
I
think
so. E. Yeah, I don't know if it's a lateral.
It's
just air passing over the top of the tongue.
And if you do ing, 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 ing,
ing,
like sing, ing, ing, you might realize ing.
Ing.
Now take one of maybe your other hand or that hand and just close your nose at the same time as saying ing, ing,
ing.
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 Ing. So you realize actually all that air is coming out of your nose. It's one of the reasons you're maybe not feeling it on your hand.
Yeah, it's just resonating in your nose, just buzzing around in there.
Okay, a few more. Q. Q. Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
Q.
It's almost like taking your breath is taking a dive down.
Yes.
Q.
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 Q. Definitely moves. It moves on my hand when I go through the sound.
Q.
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 Bet that's great over the radio. Q.
Q. And switching to Z's instead of S's. Z. Z. Maybe that's more on your teeth. Z.